Okay, welcome back. Hour number two, and we are a day early with our special guest tonight. She was supposed to be on tomorrow night, but we're happy to have her on any time at all. That is Nurse Anne, whom you've heard a number of times before on the program, to get the actual inside truth and reality from these death factories that used to be called hospitals, no longer. And first up, let's say hi to Erica. Welcome back.
Hi, Jeff. Good to be here again.
All right. We have Anne a day early. Before we jump into that, let me just run down a few headlines to keep all of you aware of where we are on this thing. And I'm talking about worldwide. I had a message from Bernard in Indonesia today, and he's going to give us a report on what's happening there. Americans don't look beyond the end of their noses, unfortunately. They're trained not to. So they don't think about this happening in other countries. What's happening here is abject denial by the majority of the sheep. They're not able to come to terms with the fact that people are dying possibly by the tens of thousands a day from all manner of alleged causes now. It's ultimately traceable back to the vaccine, so-called. Every case, virtually, we've established without doubt that the spike protein and other aspects of it, LNPs and so forth, are utterly toxic to the body and can lead to all kinds of deaths. It's anti-life is what it is. Real simple. Here are a few headlines for you. I'm going to start with the Time magazine one because that one really got me. It's a Time magazine major story. I think it's a cover story. And they're announcing the new mRNA bioweapon flu shots will be available to everyone soon. And they begin their text with this sentence. This is a fragment of a sentence, but you get the idea. Time writes time. I hope you never look at another Time magazine. Certainly don't buy one, for God's sakes. After the remarkable success, I'm not kidding, after the remarkable success of the mRNA vaccines in protecting people against COVID-19, and they go on from there to say that the new bivalent, well, it's not a single yet, but we expect it to be married to the COVID shot at some point. The new flu shots, mRNA predicated, are coming out soon. So get ready for that. I don't know if that necessarily means there's another type of spike protein in there. Would it? I guess it would, wouldn't it?
It's not a spike protein per se. It would be the antigens on a flu virus.
How's the mRNA factor into it? How does the mRNA?
Well, the mRNA is just, it's a code. It's a nucleic acid, mRNA, to give your body the instructions on what protein to assemble.
Okay.
So for an influenza virus, it would be the hemagglutinin protein, which is on the surface of a influenza virus, and possibly the neuraminidase, that's the other one that's on the surface of a influenza virus. So you would be given the codes to make those proteins. The problem is we don't know what those proteins are capable of doing on their
own. No idea.
Right.
No idea. None.
No, I think we could expect that they might be equally as harmful as possibly the spike protein of the coronavirus. I mean, this spike protein has, you know, all kinds of evil manufactured into it, not the least of which are these prion domains and amyloidogenic sequences, but it can also interfere with your body's ability to surveil for cancer.
Well, it also messes with iron metabolism. Right. There are all manner of things being done to people now, and with each new mRNA-based injection, you are rolling the dice even more as to how long you're going to live. I don't think I'm stretching.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It.
Absolutely crazy.
Okay, here are a few more just from today. These are stories going up in headlines probably within the next 5 minutes. Hundreds of thousands of fully vaxxed are dying weekly, according to official government statistics. Here's another one. COVID vaccines, in quotes, have already killed 20 million people worldwide and injured over 2 billion others. Now, these are likely rather conservative, if not very conservative figures, I would think. And the part about the injured is that they're not getting better. We're just not seeing any stories of the injured making a full, robust recovery back to wonderful, vibrant health. It doesn't happen. Once they've been injured, they continue to degrade and go downhill. This is a sick one. And do you want to say something there on this?
No, I agree. I just, you know, looking at these support groups, if people were genuinely getting better and recovering, those groups would be shrinking in number, and conversely, they're growing.
Exactly. There's a story here that I'm not sure you want to look at. These are newborns, and I mean newborns. It's very hard to look at them and see them all wired up with tubes and sensors and God knows what else. Hospital newborn. This is one particular child. Murdered by deadly, tainted blood transfusion. They had to give the child a transfusion. And I would urge any of you out there to avoid transfusions at all costs. Now, the family attempted to be donors for the blood. They wouldn't let him donate. They made him take it out of the general pool of the blood supply, which is hopelessly contaminated and deadly, and the child died. There's another one. Famous pro-vax doctor now suspects that his Pfizer booster shot sent his cancer into overdrive. Well, if you're a long-term listener, you'll know what we think about cancer and the new Pfizer booster, or even the old Pfizer booster. Doesn't matter. 20-year-old healthy girl dies of sudden myocarditis the day after she was forced to get the new bivalent booster to continue her studies. 20 years old. Anyway, it goes on from there. You'll understand. Take some time, go through the news, keep yourself updated. In the meantime, we'll do our best to continue here, as always. Okay, let's say hello to Nurse Anne, who, as some of you may remember, became ill. We think she was spiked seriously in the hospital she was working at. She's a very hard worker, and she has gone back to work at a hospital, unnamed. And so we asked her if she'd want to come on the program and tell us what the inside of the hospital looks like now in the several months she's been gone. Welcome back, Nurse Anne.
Well, it's great to be back. Great to talk to you, Jeff, and Erica.
Yeah, nice to have you back. It's been a while.
Yes, it has.
So you're, just for our listeners out there who remember and care, you're feeling obviously good enough to go back to work. Would you say you're 100% after being spiked? Did you get past it all, or where are you, 99?
I would not say I feel 100%. I feel weaker, like my system hasn't made a full recovery, and the fatigue is still one of the biggest problems. Like, I have a lack of energy that is overwhelming at times. But other than that, it's not so bad. It's been a bit challenging because of the fact that I had was a little nervous going back, knowing how exposed I had gotten previously.
Yes.
And I really do really work really hard to protect my immune system now. I'm doing so much additional stuff outside of the norm at this point, just to keep my immune system working in 100% of the time.
Since,
and I'm always still very nervous that I'll get exposed to something else.
Well, I think it's a given that you will be exposed to something else. How, when, where, I don't know, but it's good to know that you're right on top of it. Remember, everyone, one-third of the professional healthcare workers in this country, most of which were tied into hospital work, quit rather than take the jab. So the two-thirds that are manning the system now, and whatever others came in, they're all essentially shot up. So they're shedding all the time. You go into a hospital, you're going into a spike factory, basically, and that's not a good thing to do. So anyhow, Nurse Anne has an extraordinary dedication to her profession. She has helped countless human beings at least feel better emotionally in the hospital if she hasn't been able to help them recover. First question, are you seeing people who have been vax injured recovering and getting back to 100%? I'm talking about injured, like you were. You were injured, you were made sick, but you weren't vaxxed injured. Let's talk about the vaxxed injured. What are you seeing with them?
If they're vaxxed, and they all are, and they're injured, and their injuries range from a gamut of anything, like developing clots, to stroking out, to having respiratory complications, they're having repeat admissions to the hospital. They'll get, for example, they'll have a clot in one of their limbs. They'll go in, they'll have it treated, and then they're home, and less than a week, they're probably back, and they have more clot formation. And it may be in the same limb, or it may be in a different part of their body.
So these clots, are the clots being identified as blood or amyloid clots? Are you hearing anything?
No.
Is anyone talking?
No. This time around, I'm working in a vascular ICU unit. And we get a lot of, this is typical what we see, so now it's vascular surgery. So what we're seeing is that people who are developing clots in their limbs and developing into strokes, going into pulmonary embolisms that where they have clots that have traveled and went into their lungs. And so what's happening is the readmissions they were treating the person for the same thing all along, with no real obvious good results, even though they're been heparinized, which means they're getting anticoagulation therapy, and they've been sent home on anticoagulation therapies. They are still coming into the hospital with clot formation. They're not told what kind of clot it is. They've just been told it's a blood clot. And I do believe the vascular surgeons know exactly what it is, but they're documenting it as a blood clot.
Okay. Go ahead, Erica.
Well, I think we can surmise by now, based on the evidence coming from the embalmers, these are anything but normal. I mean, that they're these protonaceous amyloid clots, which are resistant to anticoagulants.
I would agree.
Totally.
I would agree. They're sent home on they'll be sent on an Eliquist, or they'll be sent home on Lovenox, which is an injection they would give in their abdomen. Which would be, you know, in the same somewhat category as heparin when they're in the hospitals. But unfortunately, they're still coming back for the same problems and still developing clots, so much to the point that there was one patient who went and saw a hematologist, and she said, she asked him why was she throwing clots all the time, and she was on heavy doses of anticoagulation. And he turned around and said he could not explain that to her. He had no idea. Now, I don't believe for a second that he has no idea. I really believe he knows what's going on. I believe all the physicians know. And I definitely know the vascular surgeons know, because they're removing them. And if it was truly a blood clot, all you have to do is take it and wash it, and the blood particles would break away. If it's an amyloid clot, that's not breaking away. You can't break that up easily.
Right.
So they know.
Of course they know.
Oh, yes. Sure. All right. The idea of amyloid clots. Someone goes in and has one or two removed. And as you pointed out correctly, they're growing, God only knows how many elsewhere, how many other microclots that are amyloid clots are forming and growing and killing off the cells that those little capillaries where the microclotting occurs in are served. So I don't know what they're going to do except keep coming back to get more and more clots taken out until they get one that's fatal. What
exactly.
Is their future? Is that it?
Well, it's interesting because I had a case and I thought it was a very interesting case. She was only 63 years of age, and I had had her when she now had had a femoral popliteal bypass, which is basically they're cutting the vein, the artery all the way down from the groin area to the ankle. And this was after she had her first, apparently she told me she had her first back in April of 2021. And so she started having problems then. And she went and saw a doctor, and they found that she had had a clot, so they put her on anticoagulation therapy. The anticoagulation therapy failed. She ended up coming back into the hospital and had angio done on August of this year. And then in 4 days later, she was back in the ER because she had now had another clot. So a stent had been placed, and now a clot had formed above the stent.
Oh, my.
So now we're fast forward to September, and she's starting to have problems again. And they're basically hitting her with heavy anticoagulation therapies, plus aspirin, and
but
nobody mentions anything about natural substances, by the way, that she could have taken. Nobody mentioned any of that.
Okay, so Anne, they're dosing her up with pharmacology to dissolve blood clots, when in point of fact, the vast majority of these people complaining of clotting don't have blood clots. Is that correct?
They don't. That's correct. She's
so that's
clots,
beyond malpractice, isn't it? That's beyond malpractice.
Well,
let's be
I
honest
would say
here.
They're mistreating them. It's unconscionable because the vascular surgeons are removing these clots, and they know they've seen this person over and over and over again, and they know for a fact when they pull that clot out, it is not a true blood clot. It truly is something else other than blood clot, and they're not documenting it as such. So she, and then I went into her chart further because I was curious to see. So the time frames from when all of this started, just so you know, it correlates, by the way, correlates. I couldn't believe the exact correlation. So the correlation was her problem started back in April of 2021. Her first Pfizer injection was on April 10th of 2021. And subsequently after that, in May 3rd, she gets in of 2021, she gets her second Pfizer. All her problems start from that. And they have not gotten better. We're in now 2022. And then on December of 2021, she got her third vaccine, Pfizer. That's a booster. And this was the kicker. On her chart, it says, recommended fourth booster should have been done on March of 2022, followed by another booster in July 9th of 2022. They were basically telling her she was going to be getting a total of five vaccines.
Well, they should have written on her chart the date of burial.
I saw her when now she was stented, then now she had a bypass, and she had failed anticoagulation therapy. there's not much more wiggle room anymore. There's nowhere to go after this. Like, how many stents can you put in a person? How many vessels are you going to open up before you start saying something is wrong here? So I went in and I talked to her and I said, can I ask you, do you ever think about when you got the vaccinations in relation to what happened to you with regards to developing the blood clots? And she's sitting there like all like mystified. And I said, well, because I took a look at your chart and I said, your first vaccination was in April of 2021, followed by the second one in May of 2021. Your problems started in April. And I said, because I read your notes. And she's sitting there and she goes, you know, my friend told me the same thing, but she goes, what would she know?
What would she
know? And I said, I think your friend would know a lot.
I think so. I'm particularly concerned that you, as a senior nurse with over 30 years, are not hearing what these clots are made of. The big secret? I mean, I can answer that, but do you not talk among staff, and does anyone else notice this, that the type of blood clots, which are not blood clots, they're not being described? They're not saying these are all amyloid clots. They're saying nothing.
They're not. They're not saying anything. So just so you know, in this hospital, I've returned to this hospital. I was here once before. And when I was here the first time, we had a medical ICU and a surgical ICU. And then we had stepped down for both. Now we have a vascular ICU and a vascular step down. So think about that for a second. They've just created another two units.
Whole new industry.
Whole new industry has developed. And the thing about it is there's not enough vascular surgeons to operate on the people
Big
that
shortage.
Are developing the clot. Mm-hmm.
Big shortage, yes. Shortage of vascular surgeons. I've heard that before.
Yeah.
This is really grim. Just keep in mind, dear friends, they're hiding the fact that these clots are in almost every case not blood clots. They're amyloid protein clots caused by the spike protein, making proteins misfold, and they stick together in little fibrils, and they grow into larger strands, and ultimately they fill the space up that they're in, side to side, top to bottom. So they go in and they pull the clot out. The patient is sent home with the wrong medications. Actually, there are no medications that I know of to dissolve amyloid clots anyhow. But they're being treated with heparin and so forth for blood clots. The negligence and incompetence, knowing incompetence, is sky high in these hospitals. This is a lie and a fraud of the first magnitude.
I would agree. I'd agree. And the other thing is a big shocker, because I personally went through this myself, was you look on the patient's charts now, and they're not doing the D-dimers, the D-dimer test.
They don't work. They gave it up.
Yeah.
How funny. You know what's really funny, though, Maria? Excuse me. I'm sorry to interrupt. But what's funny is they're always after money and giving tests and tests to people who don't really need the tests in many cases. And yet they're giving up the D-dimer when they could charge for that. They could go ahead and give it to people. But they know it's going to come back negative, negative, negative. So I guess they just don't want to be bothered.
Well, and the D-dimer, if you remember in my own personal case, the D-dimer is basically an indication or a measure of where you have a blood clot developing in your body. But it's even more specific than that. It's usually the breakdown of the blood clot. So the higher the D-dimer number goes, the more of a developing blood clot you have in your body. So if you remember, I told you a few last year, I think it was, the number is less than 50, and that is at 50 is high. Mine was nearly 3,000, if you remember, and I did not receive the vax, if you recall. So there was no rhyme or reason for my D-dimer to be severely elevated like it was. No explanation at all. So I went to my own doctor and I talked about my own case, and I said, I am freaking out about this D-dimer. And my other coags were off too. And she goes, oh, we don't look at the D-dimer anymore. No shit. Because you know why? Because you would find out the real truth. People are having huge amounts of clots that they're developing in their body. Mm-hmm. Amyloid plus blood clots. They are having blood clots too. Plus, they're having both. So what's happening is they could treat those, the D-dimer blood clots, without the anticoagulation therapy. They could actually put them on medication, which is a natural substance, which is navokinase, which is what I took to bring my levels back to normal, because I was freaking out. But they're not doing it for people. They're not they're not allowing that to happen. And we have a big breakdown in the medical system. But they're not going to look for other alternative treatments for patients. It's all the money is in anticoagulation therapy, vascular surgeries, and repeat stenting, angioplasties, or repeat bypass, and nobody is actually telling these people the truth. I tried to tell her privately. I tried to, and she at least was open-minded to looking into
I'll bet you don't even hear the word amyloid in the hospital spoken.
Not even. No. Not. It's not mentioned. No.
This is what we thought, Erica. It's not mentioned. Cover up all the way.
Yep.
No.
I'm just curious. So this particular patient has been a patient, a vascular patient, now for a year. She must be having other symptoms.
Yeah, she has her interesting story. She's a chef, and she had her own restaurants, and she ended up leaving her restaurants because of it, because she was on her feet so much. They were trying to explain it was because she's on her feet so much, and that she, that this was a, listen, we're all on our feet. That's not an explanation anymore. God designed us this way. We're supposed to be standing up, walking around. So that's a poor excuse for a bad practice, you know. So they're not explaining to her at all as to why she's throwing the clots. I told you, the hematologist actually said, I cannot explain why you're having these clots. But I have the best one. Her story was just one of many. This story, I'll just give you the high levels on this story. Of a patient that I took care of in this same unit. And so this is a person who was in initially in a long-term care facility and was, of course, if you're in a long-term care facility or a nursing home, they're basically saying you've got to be vaxxed. And we ran into this problem ourselves personally, myself and my partner, with his mom, where they were basically denying to take her or accept her as a patient if she wasn't vaxxed. So we have a system that's breaking down before our eyes, and we have how do you get around it with getting treatment for your loved ones if you choose not to be vaxxed. So this person would happen to be in the facility. He was vaxxed. He ended up with CVA. He had ended up with paraplegia. He was in the dining hall of his assisted living. He passed out, was brought to the hospital. He was found to have been in second degree heart block, was hypotensive, was brought to the RICU, was put on four different kind of vasopressors to keep his blood pressure going. Cardiology saw him, decided he was too far gone, that they were not going to give him a permanent pacemaker. And then in August of this year, apparently his creatinine levels went sky high to the point where his kidneys were failing. Mm. And they ended up basically starting him on getting in dialysis. He's now getting dialysis Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And then in August, three or four days later, when the creatinine levels went up, also they discovered on August the 10th that he had now a perforated bowel. So now he ended up going to surgery, ended up having a colostomy placed and a G-tube placed. And 2 days later, he went into respiratory distress, and he was intubated. And then ultimately, a couple of 14 days after that, his mental status started to change, and he ended up having a subacute hemispheric infarct, which is basically a stroke. He stroked out, and he ended up not being able to come off the ventilator, and he was trached.
It's tragic.
And this is where, yeah, and this is
and
where we're
I
at
assume,
now.
I assume he's gone.
No, no, I took care of him.
He's still alive?
I'm taking care of him. Still alive. He was trached.
Oh,
he's still getting on a ventilator. He's getting. He's still getting hemodialysis Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. His quality of life has just been robbed from him.
It's gone, Erica. What on those of us on the outside of the professional health community? What do we tell people who've been shot up with hot shots, real shots, if they want to know? And they're going to, obviously, among dozens of potential things that they're going to face, they're going to be microclotting right away, as we're hearing. And they're going to microclot until they're dead. Because these things will just keep growing and growing, and they'll be gone.
Well, the entire body will be, you know, compromised, you know, and then and whatever the weakest system is typically is the first one that's going to start to be noticed. I don't know. Is it better for them not to know and have them think it's...
That's the question. I don't...
Genetics?
What do we do? They've already been lied to get them to take the shot. They were never given full informed consent material. So they've been lied to from the beginning. And I don't... This would be a very difficult decision to make on whether or not
well,
to try
many,
to tell
many
somebody.
Of them will not accept that reality anyway. They've already have defenses up and, you know, they won't even entertain the possibility that these shots could have been, you know, not what they were told they were.
No, they were
capital
punishment grade shots. Yeah.
Unfortunately, I have the biggest story of all, which just happened last night on my shift. I wasn't taking care of this patient, but we're all aware of this patient. And this patient was pronounced brain dead and the family had agreed for organ donation. So, and the patient is three Pfizer vaccinations, and the patient passed away last night at 3 o'clock, and at 4 o'clock in the morning, the patient was brought down to the OR for organ procurement. For anyone who doesn't know what that is basically organ donation. So
The point, I don't want to take your punchline, but these are tainted spike protein laden, among other things, organs. And they're going to put them into somebody who may or may not be vaxxed, and the results are going to be the same. Ultimately, they're going to kill the person either way. This is insanity.
Yes, right. And the thing about it was is that person's organs hadn't failed. That person actually ended up with brain injury. And basically, subsequently, was pronounced brain dead. So that's where they were allowed to pass on this person's organs. So,
oh my gosh,
we are I witnessed. I couldn't believe it myself. It was just a very emotional night last night. because it was a very young person too. So
really?
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Age group?
21 year old.
Oh man. See, and the people who are waiting on these organ transplant lists, I wonder if they're told if the donor has been shot up or not. I doubt it.
I wouldn't say so. I think they're so eager to get the organ that they'll
the Red Cross is assuring people that the blood supply is completely safe, that these vaccines do not enter the bloodstream, so there's no risk of anything being passed on to recipients. And I'm sure they're doing the same for the organ donors.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Nurse Anne.
I would agree.
Tell us when you do a blood draw what we're seeing now from the vaxxed people. Those who are new to the program need to hear this carefully. Normal blood is red, bright red. It flows easily. You've all had your blood drawn at some point. Nurse Anne does that, among many things. So what are you seeing when you draw blood now?
So the blood is, you may see the vein on a patient, so it's not an issue with getting vein access. But when you draw the blood should come out bright red, just as you say. But it's coming out, and it should gush. That's the other thing. And keep in mind, I'm working on a unit where everybody's on anticoagulant therapies. So they should be bleeding like crazy, you know, but that's not the case. So you go in to draw the blood, and the blood comes out dark, immediately dark. It's black. And its flow is really slow, really, really slow. You will probably get maybe one tube if you're lucky, but most of the time they're so heavily vaxxed now that you cannot fill the tubes. So what's happening is you're having the surgeons are going to have to place a line in the arteries of their heart to get access to the blood in order for us to just do basic phlebotomy tests, because the veins won't allow you to collect them in the tubes.
When you say black, are you talking blue black or black black?
I'm black black. It's
jeez.
Black. I actually said this is COVID blood. I said it last year on the show because I saw it then, and it hasn't changed. It's actually, if anything, it's got worse. Because before I used to be able to at least get a few tubes. Can't even do that now. The more vaccinated you are, the less likely you're to get blood.
What are the labs saying when they get these tubes of black sludge? What do they say?
They're actually getting accustomed to seeing it, is the thing. You know, after a while, it becomes almost like a routine thing. You know, you see it enough, it becomes routine. It's almost like, it's acceptable, you know. But also, the thing is that they're on heparin drips, and you're doing, you have to do the coag therapies, the PTs and the PTTs, you're supposed to be running those pretty regular, like nearly every 6 hours, sometimes even more. And you run them down to the lab. Like, I literally walk from the 8th floor all the way down to the lab in the bottom, the lower level. And before I even get there, the blood is like, oh, my, it's dark as night by the time I get there. And it would have been drawn within a few minutes. And then they'll try to run it, and they have to take a few times to spin it because it's actually clotting as quickly as they're trying to run it.
Those tests
have to be done right away.
Okay, Erica, she's talking about clotting, and she walks down to the lab. It's already clotting. What's clotting in the blood that fast? And these are amyloid clots. So are we saying that the person is overloaded with spike to the extent that that blood is literally being turned as she's walking it down to the damn lab?
I think we're getting back to this hemoglobin issue. They can't recycle their heme.
The heme's getting destroyed. It can't carry oxygen. The iron's been liberated.
Got it.
I don't know how these people are even functioning.
How can the heart pump sludge through a body? I don't understand it. I know why people are just dropping over dead. Their hearts probably just give up. Can't pump this. It's like pumping oatmeal, not liquid. This is crazy.
I mean, that's severely oxidized blood.
They're all on oxygen, by the way. They're not breathing on room air, by the way. They're not like you or me, where we're actually talking. And every one of these patients are on supplemental oxygen at this point.
And these people are all shot up, and you're saying that the vast majority of them are showing up with this black, or dark brown-black COVID blood. They all have the same profile.
It's black.
So anybody who's been shot up with more than a couple of shots, or one or two, is going to have this black blood. All of you listening out there, and I don't like doing this, but these people are all going to die. Everyone who's been shot up with a real hot shot that's not defective or some kind of a placebo, they're not going to make it. And that's why we're seeing more and more people die all the time. How many people coming in the front door now are going back out the front door? How many are dying in the hospital? What's your death rate?
Well, we have a code between 1 and 3 a night in between all the ICUs and step downs, meant surge floors.
Okay, so tell them what code means. Coding means they're dying.
Coding means basically their heart stopped or they're not breathing. So, the average is between 1 and 3 a night, and that's on every shift.
Erica?
Now, the other thing, which just blows my mind, is that infection. Mm. Infection, they're coming in with, they're diagnosing it with COVID, but the infection rates are huge, and the treatment for them, where they're getting, is still the antibiotics. But if they're diagnosed with COVID, they're still giving remdesivir as the treatment. And I had a patient who had COVID and was scheduled to get remdesivir. And I went to one of the nurses and I said, I'm not hanging this drug. And she goes, why not? And I said, because I'm not hanging this drug. So
good.
I said, it's on this patient's chart and the patient is supposed to get remdesivir, but I'm not hanging this drug. And so she goes, well, you need to know that you need to call the doctor. She goes, why are you not giving it? I go, because this will not help this patient. So she goes, well, you call the doctor. So I called the doctor and said, this patient's ordered remdesivir, and I don't believe that remdesivir is going to be able to help this patient. And they said, well, it's ordered, so I want you to go ahead and give it. And I go, okay, well, I'll go get someone else to give the patient the medication, but I won't have the blood on my hands.
Good for you.
You mean you don't want to be an accessory to murder, Anne?
I don't want to be an accessory to murder.
Uh-huh.
And the patient wasn't awake and alert or oriented enough to tell them.
You couldn't. They couldn't make a decision.
If they were awake and alert and oriented, I would have actually been able to tell them, you can refuse. But you can't write a refusal if the patient can't verbalize that. And then to boot, they don't have, they're not giving them the high dose vitamin C like they should be giving. And they could order cortisol, which is expensive, but they could order cortisol, and that would actually help with the infection. Because the synergy between cortisol and vitamin C is extremely powerful, and it would help with to address those infections, but that's not happening. They're not ordering zinc either. Zinc is another one that would be something that would have been powerful for fighting off infection. Now, even if they had the active, the doctor could argue with you and say, well, they had the active infection. They need these antibiotics. Yeah, sure, give them the antibiotics. And I'm not agreeing to remdesivir. All of the other ones, yes. But but they are now actually using ivermectin as well, which is something. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So that is something.
I was going to ask about
forget
that.
About using remdesivir.
I bet in some cases they're using both, as crazy
they're
as
using
that
both.
Sounds.
Yeah, they're using both, yeah. But they're not using any of the stuff, any of the natural substances. And a high-dose vitamin C, you can give it IV, and with cortisol, it would pull that vitamin C into the cells, and it would really help with addressing the infection. Because the antibiotics will, yeah, they might actually kill whatever infective organism is there. But at the end of the day, you're wiping out the person's immune system. I know because I went through this personally myself. And it just kills your immune system. And they're not actually rebuilding that immune system or trying to keep the immune system intact while we're administering them with these horrific amounts of antibiotics and antimicrobials.
Yeah, it's got to be a horror show. I mean, there's so many things wrong with the protocol. It's no wonder anybody survives.
It's really difficult now because the people I'm seeing are vaxxed, 100%. There was a time I would have walked into a hospital and I would have been like, oh, this person is not vaxxed, but it's 100%. I've been there now 2 weeks. I went back to work, and they're all 100% vaxxed. So how do I save them? I always ask, how do I save them? How do I save them from themselves?
Well, yeah, there's just so many things wrong at that point. When you understand what the spike protein does, what the transfection does, none of it's normal, and nobody knows how to reverse it. I mean, it's this cascading effect of all kinds of things going wrong at once.
Yeah. I mean, if it
with
was just a blood clot, yeah, you could probably see, okay, maybe. But even now with the vax, they're making so many blood clots. You're going to be on anticoagulation therapy for the rest of your life anyway. Chances are you're going to be getting a couple of stents. You're going to have a few bypasses if you continue to live, assuming the clot doesn't break off and go to either your heart, your lungs, or your brain, where you can either have respiratory failure, a heart attack, or a stroke.
You know, it almost seems like you mentioned aneurysms a while back, and I think an aneurysm, just having the blood vessels burst when you're dealing with these kind of clots is a more likely scenario than having it break off, although I suppose either one is a possibility. There's so much wrong with the blood, and then the vasculature is weakening as a result of, you know, the stress put on the vascular system.
I feel like I can't help them, but I try, but
compassion.
There's some
at the
of
very
them
least.
They're past the point. They're past the point. I can't help them. Like that person that I told you about that has so many surgery and is now getting dialysis had an anoxic brain injury, a huge stroke, and I mean, you know, his quality of life is you know, he has no quality of life anymore.
That's no life quality. There's nothing there.
Nothing.
He's 70, you know, he went
72.
You know, he was a low maintenance patient before all this, and now he's high maintenance. How does that help anybody?
Yeah. And he will survive for as long as he doesn't keep developing blood clots to the point where it will eventually ultimately take him off this earth. But but in the meantime, this is how he's going to live. He's going to be on a ventilator, and he's going to be getting dialysis.
Unbelievable.
Frightful horror movie you're trapped in there. And
it's obviously
only
movie.
Going to get worse. It's not going to get better. Well,
no, it's hard to reconcile. It's just difficult to make sense of it. None of it makes sense.
It's a cascade, and it's only going to get bigger and bigger and bigger over the next couple of years. These people who have 4 and 5 and 6 shots, now they're getting the bivalent booster.
A super booster.
I don't understand how you do it. Anne, I'm grateful to you on behalf of everyone whose lives you've touched, you've helped. Take care of yourself. This is something that is beyond anyone's control. It's working exactly as it was planned to, this whole thing.
Yeah.
Sickening.
And all we do is try and give him some sort of a life, but in the meantime, and I said it last year, and this is it. And this is the truest statement of it all. This, the life of the flesh is in the blood. It was in the Bible, and that
it's
is
so
the case.
True.
And
so true.
That was it.
And these shots, number one goal is to destroy the blood and circulation. That's what they've done.
If you can, because no organ can survive without it.
Right.
No. Anne, thank you very much for being here and for everything you do. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
Yes, it's great to talk to you, and thank you so much.
Okay.
Have a good night, Anne.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, that's a hero, or heroine.
Yes.
Whatever it is.
Truly.
These people who are going in there, they're on the way out, whether they last another 3-6 months or longer. They're clotting, and God only knows what's going on in their brains with the spike protein, with all the major organs. There are too many things to track. This is the consummate kill shot.
It is. It literally is. With plausibility, plausible deniability built into it.
Oh, they're skating.
And most people are falling for it. They are not connecting the dots to their the current health problems they may be having to the shot they had a week ago. Never mind a year ago.
A year ago, yeah. No.
It will seem unrelated. And yet, from the minute that goes into the body, it's starting to destroy it.
And they bring people in there, and they can have so many things wrong from this shot. And what are their options? They have to start doing tests. It's all about money. They make money on these tests, lots and lots of money. And the people who go into surgery and vascular surgeons, they must be working 12-hour shifts.
Yeah, they have to be. I mean, if they have a whole new unit set up just for that.
It's a new industry.
Vascular surgery recovery.
And the anticoagulant therapy is not going to help.
No,
not if
no.
It's a blood clot, but there aren't many blood clots anymore.
No, that's shocking to know that you could be walking around and have blood that looks like that and still be, I guess, appearing normal on the outside, but I,
she said everyone who's been
beneath the surface.
She said everyone who's been injected has that black blood.
That's consistent with what I'm hearing and seeing.
God, incredible.
I know.
I'm stunned at what I just heard. It's so much worse than even just a couple months ago. The clots are all coming home to roost. Go ahead.
Right. And now to think that children are also being subjected to this. All these schools, these universities now that have required their returning students to be boosted.
Unreal. Okay. Thank you, Erica. Talk soon.
My pleasure. My pleasure, as always, Jeff. Okay. See you tomorrow night. Good night, everyone.
Good night. Take care. Back in a minute.